Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. For we are the servants of the Most High God. We want to do what is pleasing in your sight, Lord. So we bow our knees before your mighty throne. God, we open up our hearts to you. We open up our minds. We ask that you give us understanding, Lord. Father, even as Daniel, you opened Daniel's understanding. God, open our understanding. May we know your ways, and may we walk in total obedience to you. We ask this in your precious name today. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We will continue on this morning with the word. We're talking about coming into perfection. To be made whole. To be made whole and complete. That Christ may rule and reign in us. He's ruling in the heavens. He's Lord of all. But he wants to rule in us. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is within you. And we must come to an understanding of how he wants to rule in us. Okay, we finished the last session talking about baptisms. And we said that there are three baptisms. And we talked of water baptism. And the second baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. John says, John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize with water, but there cometh one after me who is mightier than me, and he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. So man baptizes man in water, but only Jesus Christ can baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Now, this baptism of the Holy Spirit is an open door in which God wants to come into our spirit. So if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, remember we talked about our being, a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. You see, this spirit here is a place of pureness. This place in the soul has not been completely changed over into the nature of God. And the way we know it, I can give you an example. Take your mind. Have you thought anything in the last few days that was not pleasing in God? It's that fallen nature in man that needs to be changed. So, we're talking about our growth and maturity in God with the picture of the tabernacle. And after being born again, we need to be baptized not only in water, but in the Spirit. Because the only way you can become holy is by being baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Raise your hands. Okay, a number of you have. Well, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jesus comes and fills your spirit with the Holy Spirit. It's a place of undefilement. It's the only place where the Holy Spirit can dwell where there's no sin. That's why we said that when man dies, the spirit goes back to God. So if we've been filled, if we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit dwells here. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit is not just to come into our spirit. He wants to come into this place of our soul. Our soul, He wants to come in. And you and I, which are free will beings, the determination of how much we want the Holy Spirit in our soul depends on how much we open up to God. So the Holy Spirit's desire is to shine out of our spirit and shine into our soul. Now remember, our soul is four parts. Our mind, our emotions, our desires, and our will. And each of these is like a door. And we are the ones that determine whether we open or we close the door. In the book of Psalms, chapter 24, Psalms 24, it says in verse
7,
it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." It's talking about the doorways of your soul. When we start to open up in praise to God, when we open up to God, it should do one main thing in our lives. It should cause us to repent. Because if God comes into us, we realize we're nothing.
And
when God comes, there has to be either we close ourselves to God or we open up to God. But when we open up to God, the light of God comes in and drives the darkness out. That's why it's so important for us to be in a state of repentance. Repentance means change. That is the way that repentance works godly sorrow. And godly sorrow brings forth deliverance. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Spirit of God comes into our spirit and He wants us to open the doorways of our soul that the Holy Spirit might come in and change us. Hallelujah. Amen. And this is representative here in the brazen labor. And this brazen labor speaks of consecration to the Lord, consecration to God. It's a place of also our sanctification. Sanctification, a cleansing, process. This is a continual process working in our soul. The more we yield to God, The more we allow God to cleanse us. Hallelujah. Remember, the Bible says our sin separates us from God. Our sin separates us from God. We could have the blood and our souls alive. We can have the Holy Spirit, but we need to obey the Holy Spirit in these areas of our soul. We must allow God to rule in our mind. We must have God ruling in our emotions. If God is ruling in my emotions, and this brother comes up, and he's mad with me, and he slaps me, if I have God ruling in my emotions, I won't slap him back, or I won't get angry. If I have let God work in my emotions. Do you understand what I'm saying? God wants to come in and to give us power over the soul nature of man. God wants to come into our mind. He wants to rule in everything that we think. You can have power over the sin nature of the mind. The devil can come and give thoughts into your mind that are not right thoughts. But as you submit to God, as you submit to the Spirit of God, you can have the power to resist the sin, rebuke the devil, and he must flee from you. Hallelujah. The same way with your emotions. You can have the power over your emotions. The Holy Spirit can bring deliverance in your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Same way with our desires. We can have ungodly desires. Come on. You can be born again. You can have the Spirit of God and yet have wrong desire. As you open up to God, the Spirit of the Lord can come in and change your desire. Hallelujah. The same way with your will. God can give you that power for you to overcome in the will area of your soul. So we see that God is faithful in the second piece of furniture in the tabernacle. As we submit to God, be water baptized, as we open up to God and He comes and He baptizes us in His Spirit, and there's a third baptism that a lot of the church does not know. Did you know there's a third baptism? How many of you here have ever heard of the third baptism? Raise your hand. You've heard, what is that baptism, brother?
By fire.
By fire? Well, no, that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It says, and I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire means change. Tribulation in your life. And you have experienced it. Amen. But there is a third baptism that the Spirit of God speaks in Corinthians, that Paul speaks. If we will turn there. Is it 1 Corinthians 12? Mark, 1 Corinthians 12?
That guy's in one body as well.
Right, that's the one I want. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. and verse 13. It says, for by one Spirit, now that Spirit is capitalized in my Bible. Is it capitalized in your Bible?
It's the same.
That is speaking of the Holy Spirit. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So it says here that the Spirit of God baptizes us into one body. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit baptizing us into the body of Christ. That body of Christ is representative of this part in the tabernacle. Now remember, we're talking of three baptisms. The natural baptism, water. Spiritual baptism, Holy Ghost baptism. The third dimension is the fullness. The Holy Spirit. When God gives you the Holy Spirit, it's not just for speaking in tongues. It's not just for the manifestation of the gifts of God. The whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is to overshadow your soul and bring your soul under the dominion of the Holy Spirit. Once you have come into those baptisms, and once you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that scripture verse in Corinthians says that by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He baptizes you into the body of Christ. It's another a stage of development for the Christian. Hallelujah. When we come into the place of being baptized into His body, it means that we are coming under the headship of Christ. For the body of Christ must have a head. And Christ is the head of the body. Now I'm going to share something with you. And you're going to have to think about this. When we look at this whole picture of the tabernacle, this is speaking of the whole church of God. This is the whole church of God here. How you come into the church of God is not by joining a church, not by signing a card, but by receiving His blood. Once you receive His blood, you're part of the church of God. Right here. You're right here when you have received the blood of Jesus Christ. It also speaks of it in John chapter 3. All of us know very well this scripture verse. Right? You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. How many of us teach that? I mean, we have a lot of church leaders. How many of us teach that you must be born again to see the kingdom of God? You come in. Jesus said, when you're born again, you see the kingdom. But the next verse in John chapter 3 says, you must be born again of water baptism and of spirit, Holy Spirit, in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And this place, in obeying the Holy Spirit, brings us under the headship of God. You see, you cannot be part of, this represents the body of Christ right here. The church is three parts: outer court church, holy place church, and holy of holy church. And God does not want us to stop at any point until we reach the Holy of Holies. Paul said, what was the part he said? I pray, or he wrote, until Christ be formed within you. Did he say, I pray? Where is the scripture verse for that? I travail. Paul wrote to the believers, he said he travailed. Now, what's the word travail? Does that mean like a woman bringing forth a child, right? And Paul's ministry was like a woman bringing forth a child. He labored night and day to teach the truths and the mysteries of God. So when he was saying, I travail until Christ be formed within you, he's talking about you coming into a growth with God, where Christ is ruling within your soul. He also said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's talking about Jesus Christ changing our soul, coming into his nature. Hallelujah. How many of you desire that? Amen. So we see here, by one Spirit, the third baptism, it's called the fullness. Because then if we obey the Holy Spirit, we come into this holy place, and this holy place is much different than the outer court. These pieces of furniture in the outer court were made with brass, which represents judgment to sin, brazen labor is represented to judgment of self. You cannot have a self life if you're going to serve God. That's why we need to be water baptized and to understand that we are dying the old man, no longer to live any longer, and we rise up by faith to walk in newness of life. But God gives us the Holy Spirit, and as we obey the Holy Spirit, we come into the holy place. Now, I don't want to go a lot into this, but this place here in the tabernacle, holy place and holiest of all, the pieces of furniture, all of the boards, were covered with gold. And gold is representative of the nature of God. And that's what we are coming into as we obey the Holy Spirit, that we might be changed. Now, this lampstand here is representative of our God working with us and us working with God. This table of showbread here is representative of our feeding off of Christ. Do you remember the priest had to bring in 12 loaves of bread daily? They were fresh bread. And the priests were to eat of that bread. Now God has said that we are priests and kings in the kingdom of our God. Jesus said what? I am the bread of life. Huh? So we're to feed off of Christ. So in the operation of the holy place, all of these pieces of furniture represent stages in our
lives.
I mean, we could sit and have sessions just on these pieces of furniture each alone. We see this golden altar of incense. This is the place that all men fear to go. Because if their offering was not acceptable, the presence of the Lord, they would not stand before God. But the progression of God is to be totally like Him, where we come under the shadow of the Almighty, the place where God dwells. Remember, the word says, no man shall stand and see God. Flesh has no operation, especially at the golden altar of incense. You want to make sure your offering is right with God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to go turn to Matthew 25. I want us to look at a couple parables that speak of the same progression that God wants to bring us on to perfection. How many of us here are familiar with the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins? Can I see a raise of hands? How many of you are familiar? My goodness, almost everybody here is familiar with it. Okay. Remember, we spoke. God can give us keys to understanding His Word. And He's opening the Word up to us. Chapter 25 says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. How many virgins? 10. What is 10 symbolic of? Do you know 10? There's a meaning for the number 10? It is divine law. 10 commandments. What else is it, Representative Mark? Pardon me?
Ordinal perfection.
Ordinal? Ordinal perfection, he said.
Perfection of order.
Perfection of order. 10 virgins there were. Alright, now these 10 virgins, what did they do? They took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Alright, now we're going to find out what's the difference between the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now in your Amharic Bible,
በእናንተ ያማረኛ መጽሐፍ ቅዱስ
you have lamps
መብራት አላችሁ
and in verse 4 do you have vessel It is. Vessel. Okay. Let us look here because we're talking about perfection. And we're talking about the three parts of man. The three parts of man. It said that the 10 virgins took their lamps to meet the bridegroom. That lamps is representative of the Spirit. All 10 had oil in their lamps. Hallelujah. All 10 had oil or Holy Spirit in their spirit. But it says that the foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. What is the oil representative in the Word of God? Can someone answer that? Yes?
Holy Spirit.
The oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. So they had it in their lamps, the foolish, but they had no oil in their vessel. For in verse 5 or verse 4, it says, but the wise took oil in their vessels and in their lamps.
ጥበበኞቹ ግን በመብራታቸው ላይ ማሰሮ ያለ ሙሉ የሆነውን ዘይት አነሱ ነው ቢለው
Now if we turn to Proverbs 20:27
ምሳሌ 20:27 ላይ ብትከፍቱ
Do you know your Bible explains itself?
መጽሐፍ ቅዱስ ራሱን በራሱ ያብራራል
For in Proverbs 20:27
ምሳሌ 20:27 ላይ
It says here that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Does it say candle in your Bible?
Yes.
Or lamp?
Lamp.
It says lamp. Yes. Very good. You have the correct rendition.
Yes.
So the spirit of the Lord,
yes.
The spirit of the Lord
yes.
is the lamp
yes.
of the Lord. Lamp, Spirit of the Lord, in your spirit. But let's read the rest of it. It's searching out all the inward parts of the belly. What does your Bible say for belly? Inward parts.
Yeah.
Yes. If you go into the Hebrew word for this in the belly, you see it's representative of your soul. So the Spirit of the Lord is like a lamp searching all the inward parts of you. As you open up to God, the Spirit of God is searching even things you don't know of. What makes you up? Hallelujah. Has any one of us been totally changed into Christ yet? But God is wanting to bring us there. Because we're talking of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And let's read on here. Now we see the difference between the five wise and the five foolish. You see, there's a further progression in the church to come into the fullness of God. Five wise, five foolish. five wise, five foolish. So we see the difference between the two. And it said, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Has Jesus come back yet? Are we waiting the return of Jesus? Are we awaiting the return of Jesus? Amen.
Amen.
Well, where He wants to return first is in us. Hallelujah. So it says that while He tarried, that they all slept. Even the wise slept. But thank God, someone is on the job. Because at midnight there was a cry made. Someone had to be awake to make the cry. And it says, at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Hallelujah. There is a word of God going forth to the people of God, that the kingdom of God is at hand. God is preparing a people to rise up, come into Him, because there is a time at midnight when the bridegroom is going to join with the bride. That's midnight. The darkest time on the face of the earth. But at that time will be the greatest time of all. Because the bridegroom will come. Hallelujah. But there was a problem. When all the virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps, the foolish did not have it in their vessel. They did not allow God to come into their soul to change them. That's why they were called foolish. They did not allow the gift that God gave them in the Holy Spirit to change their souls. And so the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. I can't buy for you. You can't buy for me. Every man has a responsibility for his own soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the wise could not give it to the foolish. And the foolish had to go out and try to buy it. But there was one problem. It was too late. It says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, right there, they that were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily or truly I say unto you, I know you not. Now, it's interesting when he said, I know you not. Because that word know means an intimate relationship with God. And if you do not open your soul to God, if you do not submit your emotions to God, if you do not submit your mind to God, your desires to God, your will to God, you will not be changed. And how can God really know you? That is why the church is called the bride of Christ. And he's the bridegroom. We are coming to where God says midnight, where the bridegroom and the bride will become one. But if these areas in our soul are unchanged, or we can liken to blockages, where we can block God, block God from coming in and changing our emotions, block God from coming into our changing our mind, our will, our desire. This is what we're calling about coming into perfection and change. You see the direction of the arrows here? This door here, or this veil, is the place of midnight. And only the five wise that had oil in their vessels or in their soul were allowed into the bridegroom chamber at midnight. It says here, he said, verse 13, he says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. What are you watching for? What are you watching for? Let me ask that question. What are we watching? We have His coming. But we also have to watch our soul. We must be careful we do not allow the enemy of our soul to come and defile our temple. He said in Corinthians, Paul said in Corinthians, know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're the temple of God. This is the temple. God is wanting, wooing us to come into Him. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I will say another parable here. I believe it's in Matthew 13. It's in Matthew 13 of the woman with the three measures of meal. Okay, it's in verse 33. Jesus spoke another parable that he spake unto them. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Okay. Three measures of meal. Three. See that? Man, three parts. He says, a woman took leaven. What does a woman symbolic of in your Bible mean? It's the church. It's us. It's our responsibility.
And
this leaven, you have leaven here in Ethiopia, you make bread all the time. In order for you to have bread, you must have leaven, right? Leaven is the agent that causes the bread to rise. And so this leaven here is symbolic of the Word of God or the Holy Spirit. And it says that the woman took it, hid it in the three measures of meal. Comes into your spirit. And the woman that allowed the Spirit of God to work in her soul so this one measure was filled with the Spirit in obedience the leaven or the Spirit of God, the Word of God comes into your soul, fills it. One filling of your spirit, another filling of your soul, which brings us into the fullness of God, where even our bodies will be changed. We see that Jesus was the forerunner. When he died and rose from the grave, he had an immortal body. No longer subject to disease or sickness. No longer subject to death. So God is saying that the kingdom of God is like unto this. And all of this brings us into what God calls the fullness of God. The fullness of God. Hallelujah. The change. You see, if you look and you study your Bible, you'll see this word over and over and over again. Brother Bert taught yesterday about the dimensions of the tabernacle being by 50, by 100, by 50, by 100, which totals 300. It's talking about Gideon's 300. And you will see that God has a Gideon's army throughout all of Scripture. There's many names for it in the Bible. The first fruit company, the 144,000. What are some of the other ones? The first fruit company, the remnant. It's talking about a people coming into the fullness of God. This should be our goal, is here in the Holy of Holies. But we cannot get to this place, the seventh piece of furniture, until every piece of furniture is fulfilled in the operation of our lives. Remember, we're talking about coming into perfection. And he said, be ye perfect. God is calling the church to come into perfection. And you have to determine which category of the virgins you want to be in. God doesn't select that process you do. You yourself determines whether you're going to be a foolish virgin or a wise virgin. If you want to be a wise virgin and you've been born again and received the Holy Spirit, you need to walk in obedience of the Holy Spirit. You need to allow God to illuminate over you and change you. And that's a process that takes you your whole walk in God. Now this fifth station here of the golden altar of incense is the final offering, and it is called the offering of the soul. The offering of the soul. Do you see all the pieces of the puzzle fitting together? This here represented your offering of death to self. That was your offering of death to sin. But this place in the holy place determines whether you go in at midnight to be one with the bridegroom. It will be if your offering is acceptable by God. For God knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hallelujah. This is what God is speaking to us, to the church today, is to come into a revelation and understanding of who He is, and that we are willing to yield ourselves to His Spirit. I want us to go to the book of Revelation, for I want to show you another picture. Now remember, we started out by speaking in the book of Ezekiel of Ezekiel's vision of the soul. Do you remember we talked about the soul as comprising of the four faces of this beast? Well, in Revelation, this also speaks of this beast. But there is something that is very wonderful here in Revelation 4. When we look into chapter 4 of Revelation, John was glimpsing or seeing the visions of what God said would be for the end of time, or the fullness of Jesus Christ. And he said in verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be here thereafter. Now this trumpet here in verse 1 is representative of the message of God. Do you have trumpets here in Ethiopia? They send a loud and clear sound. So he heard like a trumpet saying, come up, John, come up higher. And verse 2 says, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And it goes on and says, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting. And clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. White represents the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Gold represents the nature of God. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. The lampstand in the holy place were 7 lamps. One lampstand with 7 bowls. We're seeing the throne of God here. And it says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now, if you go back into Ezekiel, and you see these 4 creatures and the wheels, it said there were eyes in the wheels. And the eyes were representative of the Spirit of God. And so we see here now that there are 4 beasts in heaven. And look in verse 7. And we see the same picture, only slightly different. Okay. The first beast was like a lion. Here was these 4 beasts standing before the throne of God. The lion. It says, and the second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Do you see the same picture again? But what's different this time? What's different between this picture and the picture in Ezekiel? The one beast was no longer an ox, but he was a calf. A calf that was submitted to God. The change had come to the soul of man that he was to be able to stand before the throne of God. And it says here that now in verse 8 it says, and the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. Their soul, the Spirit of God had so come into them. It was totally light. Totally changed. It says they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And it says, and when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever,
ከዘላለም እስከ ዘላለም በሕይወት ለሚኖረው ለርሱ ክብርና ውዳሴ ምስጋና በሰጡ ጊዜ በዙፋኑ ላይ ተቀመጠው
The 420 elders fell down before him that's God
24 ሽማግሌዎች በዙፋኑ ፊት በተቀመጠው ወደ
Jesus Christ
ኢየሱስ ክርስቶስ ነው ጌታችን
That sat on the throne and worship him that live forever and ever
ለዘላለም የሚያመልኩት ማለት ነው
and cast their crowns before the throne saying
በዙፋኑ ፊት ዙፋናቸውን ደፍተው አስቀምጠው የሚደፉለት
Thou art worthy O Lord to receive glory and honor and power
ኃይልም ክብርም ልትቀበል ይገባሃል
For thou hast created all things and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
ሁሉ ፈጣሪ ስለ ፈቃድህም ሁሉም ተፈጥሯል ሆነዋልና ያሉ ያመሰግኑት ነበር.
What we are seeing in Revelation 4
በራእይ ምዕራፍ 4 ላይ ምንድነው ያየነው?
Is the picture of the church that has overcome.
የአሸናፊዋን ቤተክርስቲያን ነው የምናየው.
It's of the five wise virgins.
እነዚህ አምስቱ
that go in at midnight to meet the Lord.
በእኩለ ሌሊት ጌታን ለመገናኘት እየተነሱት
whole natures were changed into the nature of God by obedience to the Holy Spirit in their lives. Remember the three measures of meal? It's the same picture of you as you walk obedience to God that the fullness of the Spirit in your spirit as you obey will fill your soul you become that five wise virgin and look at the picture of the tabernacle brings you into that same state of development where we come into the fullness of God There's so much more, but the desire that God has for us is to come into perfection. It's not when we die because we want to be ready at midnight. We want to be among the five wise virgins. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
God bless you.